Blog Talk Radio.
Born to Glieben, Glausen, Globen.
Cyndi Lauper songs, and I was like, no, Luke, we can't play Cyndi Lauper. We got to play some Def Leppard.
Don't diss Cyndi Lauper, dude. She's cool.
Oh, she's amazing. How's Luke today?
Wanna have fun. Dude, Luke's good. How's Jason?
I am wonderful. Benevolent. Superlative. First rate. Okay.
All right.
We have a special guest tonight. Chris from PA is going to preach tonight.
Ah,
Chris, you have 5 minutes.
Special, yes.
You have 5 minutes starting now.
He is special, all right.
5 minutes, that's it?
If you get 5 minutes, you better get going. You're wasting time.
All right. No, I just woke up this morning, and I guess I won't read because you know I don't want to waste the time. But everybody needs to read 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I read that this morning. It really, really spoke to me about you know just everything right now that's going on, and God really you know laid it on my heart that we need to. A lot of us are not realizing that there's a purpose for our detachment, that the detachment we feel is not, it's just not being used the way God wants us to use it right now. And I'm not, you know, I'm not saying I know who, or God didn't tell me, you know, who it was, but he said that we needed to get this out, that, you know, a lot of us are spending our time in this detached period where we don't feel like, you know, a part of the world, and we don't feel like, you know, we just don't fit, you know, and we all feel it. But he's really telling me that, you know, during this detached period, he gave us this as a gift. And a lot of us are sitting around and using it as mopey time and, oh, come, you know, come on, let's go. He gave us this detached time to draw close to him. This is our bonding time. This is our the courtship for the wedding, is what he told me. That's what the words he gave me was, this is our courtship for the wedding. During this detachment, we're supposed to be drawing close to him in the word, in prayer, in just walking and talking with him all day, making him an every second part of your life. Not just, even the relationships that we think that we've had a tight relationship with him, he wants us to draw even closer. He wants us to draw completely, you know, side by side, that we know that he is in our presence 24/7. He's watching us while we sleep. He's watching us while we work. He's standing next to us while we're praying, you know, and use this time to just really, really focus on a courtship with him. You know, and I'll keep it short, and I'll keep it at that, but that's just what, you know, he wanted me to get out there, that a lot of us aren't taking advantage of this courtship. We need to be taking advantage of it and just walking with him.
How would you say that people aren't taking advantage of it, Chris?
I don't know. I mean, maybe some people are. I mean, I'm not. He didn't tell me who. He just said that there are people that are my bride that aren't drawing as close to me as I want them to. I want them to speak to me. I want them to not just, you know, now it's prayer time, so I'm going to talk to God right now because it's prayer time. But he said there's people that are not talking to him all day. Like, he wants, I mean, I know I do it. I know you do it, Jason. You and I have talked about it, you know, and I almost positive Luco does it. Now, we've never talked about it, but I'm pretty sure he does, you know.
He tells me to do some crazy stuff all day long.
Just like, you know, walking with him like he's your best friend, like he's your, you know, he's your lover. You know, when you're courting your bride, you know, when a husband and wife are courting and they're dating and they're getting ready, you know, they're engaged, and they're taking a walk on the beach together in a silent time, quiet time with each other. What are they doing? They're holding hands. They're talking to each other. They're getting to know each other. They're, you know, learning what their favorite color is, or whatever, you know, what their favorite flower is, or, you know, just silly things. And that's what God wants us to be doing right now, be focused on. He even got on my case about it. He says, you need to quit focusing so much on the news and focus on me. You know it's the end time. You don't need to hear it anymore. So stop, you know, he detached me from, you don't need to watch the news. You don't need to see. You know what's going on. Now's your time to be spending with me. Now's your time
to
draw close to get to know me.
I was just saying, like, have a relationship all day. But, for example, I like how you put it as, like, you're hanging out with a best friend all day, you know? Me and my friends, sometimes they would just come over and we just sit and watch a movie and not talk at all or anything, but we'd still hang out together. It's the same concept with God. You could just sit and be with God and not exactly tell him things, but you're still acknowledging his presence with you and you're still meditating and everything. But you don't have to constantly be talking 24/7. You could just sit with him and it's really peaceful.
Yeah.
So
everyone has their own way.
That's what I'm,
you know, he wants us to just be in a, like I said, just even like a walk on the beach, you know, you're just walking on the beach holding hands, you know, just spending time with him, you know, and that's just what he really, I woke up, and as soon as I woke up, this hit me like, bang, like a ton of bricks, like, this is it, this is what I want from you, you know, part of the prophecy I got was God was going to give me steps to take. To get to where he wants me, you know, and it was going to be, you know, step 1, 2, 3, 4, you know. He says, you're not ready for step 8 and 9, you know, so I'm not going to give them to you. But I'm going to give you one step at a time, and as you take that step in faith, then I'm going to, you know, I'll give you the next step. So
how did that change
your
walk today?
My first step this morning.
So how did you change your walk today? What did you do different, Chris?
What did I do? This is what I made. I made a point of during my day while I was at work today, every free second that I had, I would just think of him, just think about things like, Lord, what do you think about what's going through my brain right now? Or what am I about this situation in my life? What's your thoughts on it, Lord? You know, what do you think I should do in this situation or that situation? Or, Lord, you know, how are you taking all this stuff that's going on with Israel? You know, I know they're your people and you've got to be hurting for them. You know, does that bother you? You know, I took time out of my day to just think about him, you know, all day long. Just silly things, you know, just, and even make, you know, silly things. Like, he doesn't need me to care for him. He wants me to, but he doesn't need it. But I made a point to, you know, say, hey, Lord, I know this affects you. I know this this has got to be something that troubles you. You know, I'm sorry that you're suffering while we suffer also, you know, and I want you to know that I love you for suffering for us, you know. Just things like that, you know, just constant thought. You know, constant thought
prayer
to him.
Today. Yeah. For tonight. Yeah. Wow.
Well, what did you notice different about your day that you went through all this?
That I had a peace. You know, I had a really crappy day. I had a really, really crappy day at work today. But I was at peace through the whole thing. I was just like, yeah,
amen.
Whatever. I don't care.
Amen. Amen.
You know, I was just like at peace, and I'm just like, you know, my boss even called me in the office, and she's like, "What's going on? You're not acting like yourself. You're not, you know, what's the problem here?" And I said,
"No problem."
And I'm thinking to myself, "Well, I could really, you know, lay it on you and tell you that, well, you know, I'm just kind of stirred up on the Lord because He's going to come get us any second now, and I'm just, you know, looking up, and I really don't care about this job right now, but, you know."
Yeah. Yeah. Tell your boss you don't care. Good idea.
But that's,
you
know,
but
that's
you're
what
right
I was
on,
thinking.
Chris. You're right on. You're right on. You're right. What you did was wonderful with the Lord. God bless you. He loves that.
Yeah, you know, and even doing that, you know, I'm getting a lecture from the boss, and while I'm doing it, I'm thinking to myself, and I'm chuckling in my head, going, "If she only knew."
Oh, yeah, you're not going to have a job either, boss.
You're right. That's a good one. Oh, my gosh, that was good. Oh, my goodness.
So Chris, when he was showing you this stuff and he was showing you and you had a more peaceful day and stuff, did he tell you that people at our church here were just not spending enough time with God?
No, I don't think it was. And this is where it's hard for me to explain, because our church is bigger than we think it is. You know, and I don't think, I think some of us realize that, but I don't think a lot of us do. And God's put it on my heart that there are there are we're touching and affecting a lot more people with what we're saying and doing than we think that we are. You know, this is the normal, like, 25, 30 of us that are, you know, the super crazies, you know. But then there's other people watching us and learning from us, whether we realize it or not. And I think those are the ones that he wanted to get this to, you know. Mm-hmm. And maybe for the people, you know, that, you know, maybe there may be people who listen to this radio show and once we get eloped, you know, and help prepare them for the rapture thing, you know, and realize, hey, I need to get it, you know, get it straight, you know. I'm not sure who he wanted it for. He didn't give me any specifics. I don't really think it's, I know, I'm almost positive it's not like any of, you know, us super crazies, because all we do is think about God all day. I mean, he did want me to, you know, adjust how I was thinking about him. He did lay that on me as a personal thing. He says, you know, stop thinking about me as, you know, so much as, where are you, where are you, where are you, and just start thinking about me as, thank you for being with me. Thank you for spending time with me. Thank you for, you know, being my partner through life, you know, through this crazy mess. Mm-hmm. You know, you're walking with me through it no matter what. You know, and that was just my personal, you know, thing about it. That was how he, you know, put it to me. He's like, you know, you talk to me all day, but most of the time you're whining, you know.
That's great.
So that was my,
it's all personal.
Just my end of it. I'm not saying that any of you have that issue, but that's, you know, for you to take to God and decide on your own.
Exactly.
You know, but he just wanted me to,
Amen.
You know, put it out.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Chris. That's great.
Well, that's awesome, Chris. That's awesome, brother. I'm glad that you got more peace out of that. I've been getting a lot of peace lately, so I'm glad you are, too.
A lot of peace, yes. Love.
Amen, brother.
Yeah.
The closer we draw to him, the more peace we'll have.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Oh, my computer's not working. Oh. Something's wrong.
Don't let Pat fool you guys. She's a hacker.
I've been hacked. Seriously hacked.
Jake,
oh boy! Have I been hacked? No, listen. No, the thing won't go on. Right, I can't get into my emails or nothing. It's the connection, so it's weird. It's just
weird. Who cares
about
emails now? We don't need emails.
We're having weird weather here.
She does. She communicates with a lot of people all over the world that gets messages to people that can't get news.
I was making it's today a joke.
Looks so funny.
Oh, dear God. Listen, I have a musician friend coming later, so if I just, you know, click off, because we're going to try to work with doing some music, some instrumental music and stuff. He's a lawyer. He's working crazy. He's in the city, but he's here visiting my daughter. It's like he's her boyfriend, and he's so pray that we can finally get together. I can get Lewis and my daughter plays a guitar, other one, so we can do some music and some anointed music, you know, that we can give out eventually, if we could ever get together. But I don't know. It's like, we don't know. I'm going to be doing that up there, not down here. Exactly. But, you know, occupy until he comes. So, going to do. So, you know, pray that we can ever do anything, even if it's up there. We'll continue. So if I click off, it's because he wants to talk to me about a certain thing. And my other friend from Vermont might come over. He's on a very strict time limit. So if you hear me, if you lose me on the radar, it means that I'm just... I'm flying around with some other people here, down here, still working with them. So that's why. But Chris, what you said before I came on, I wrote a prayer out for after communion. I hope I can be on for that. But it's kind of like what you said. You know, isn't that amazing? It's just like a confirmation, you know, of what you were talking about, of thinking of him and, you know, thanking him for what he suffered and just, you know, thinking about what he's gone through and that we're here for him. So that's how the prayer, amazing. See how God works. He just connects the little dots here and there, you know, through each other. It's so beautiful. So beautiful, you know, really.
Yeah, throughout the day that anytime I start to think of anything worldly or stressful or anything like that, I just stop myself. I stop myself, and I just picture that I'm staring at Jesus. And I just, that's my mental image. I just look like I'm looking at Jesus. And
that's
it reminds
beautiful.
Me that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what anything is.
Yeah.
And, you know,
but
I've had
it.
That peace now for several days. And
yes.
It is that whole deal of You know, all day.
You haven't
just
forgotten him. Yeah, you haven't forgotten him.
Yeah.
He's there. He's there.
And it's not just all about
guy.
Thanking, you know. Sometimes he just, you know,
no.
You can sit there and laugh with him. Sometimes you can just, like Luke
of
said,
course,
you know, sit down and watch
course.
A movie with him.
Anything. Just invite him along. He wants to be invited. He wants to be in the family. He doesn't want to be out, you know, outside the door. He wants to be inside with you, living with you. You know, he loves this guy because he's human like us. He loves being treated like a human being because he is a human being. Maybe it's hard for us to get a concept of that really, really, that he's like, he's one of us. He didn't become an angel. He didn't become an ant. He became a human being to be with us, you know. Yeah. So pay attention to him, you know, give him some sugar, you know, give him some love, some time. Because that's what he wants. He wants to be the center. Yeah. And if you do, you will have this peace. You will be blessed. You'll be blessed because you did not forget him in your day. And if you wake up at night, the first thought, Jesus, I'm saying a prayer for you. I'm going to pray for my brothers and sisters, you know, and just keep pleading for others as well as inviting him into your life and letting him be the center, you know. You'll be blessed if you do that. Let me tell you, he will just take care of things. All of a sudden you find, like I said, you'll find a letter in the mail that you needed or someone you ran into, just happened to run into them in the supermarket. Couldn't get them on the phone for a week, but there they are right in your face because you gave it to the Lord and said, I got to get in touch with this person. What's happening? And then, you know, this is how he works. He's so great. And that person,
Amen.
That thing you needed, is right there, the phone call. It's right there. He's like that. Just give him a chance to show you how super cool he is at times, you know, and you'll shake your head and go, whoa, that was not coincidence. That was Jesus.
You know, well, this kind of comes back to what we've been talking about everybody having their own walk. You know, each person has their own walk. Each person shares their time differently with the Lord. Each person prays differently to the Lord. Each person, some pray more, some pray less. Some people read the Bible a lot more. Some people don't. You know, and it's all fine. It's your own walk with the Lord. You know, if the Lord is telling you something, it's for you. You know, and you share that experience when the Lord tells you something, you know, especially if it's correction or encouragement or anything like that. And,
sure.
You know, you always take it personally, because
mm-hmm.
he's telling you
mm-hmm.
at a certain point in your walk, after he's brought you through different, you know, this trials and good things and whatever. But he'll tell you things at specific times according to your own walk. And I love having them shared. That's what's really neat is, you know, we've been talking about the peace and we've been talking about our own walks and the attacks that come against us. And, you know, maybe for Chris, you know, maybe him focusing on the news was allowing negativity into his life. Maybe it was allowing him to, you know, think about all the darkness of the world as opposed to the light of the world. You know, and always go to the Lord yourself, guys. Always go to the Lord yourself and ask him what he wants you to do and whatnot. You know, I struggle a little bit with when someone gets a word and they tell somebody something like, oh, the Lord says, we got to start doing this and we got to start doing that. I struggle with that stuff personally because I've followed stuff like that before, like, oh, Lord says for us all to do this and we got to do this. And then, you know, I just realized it was for that person. My favorite version of this was with Christine with the beer thing, and I've said it several times, but, you know, told her, you know, to stop drinking beer. Turned out she was pregnant. It wasn't that the Lord hated her drinking beer. It's just that, you know, for her first point at her walk in her life that she shouldn't drink a beer.
Exactly.
And it's about always going to the Lord with everything yourself.
Yeah.
It's always because the Lord has you in your own personal walk with him that doesn't have – you might have some similarities with this person or that person, but it's your own personal walk.
Yeah.
And everything to the Lord himself.
Tailor-made for you, just for you. As you say, there's similarities, but, you know, everybody has an individual whatever, and just invite him and walk that individual walk with him, you know. There'll be similarities, but there'll be very personal things that are just for you, you know, or just your
Amen.
Situation.
Luke?
And just trust him.
Yeah.
Amen. Trust him. Luke, you there? Can you add to this, please?
Well, what got me... I grew up living other people's way of going at it,
mm-hmm.
and it made God totally unattractive to me. I'm just going to be straight up, you know. I grew up my whole life listening to other people's understanding on everything,
exactly.
and like God was not attractive to me at all. And then once I figured out that, once I figured out how personable and awesome He is, and got to know Him for myself, that's when He became really attractive to me. You know, because it was total. He was like a total different God than what I grew up learning about. You know, and even after that, like even He's still working on me, just to always listen to what He tells me personally. You know, I mean, yeah, it's good to listen to other people, but it really is important to go to God 100% with everything. So, if God's telling someone else to do something, but He's not telling you to do it, don't feel like you absolutely just have to do whatever that person says. Because if God wants you to do something, He's going to tell you. And also, it's also good to just ask God about what other people say, just right on the spot. He'll let you know, you know. So
yeah, he'll let you know.
Just go. It's a personal thing, so it always ends up going somewhat downhill if you live off of other people's relationships, you know, no matter how good of a Christian they are. Yeah.
Well, another version of this is like, let's somebody use Minister Paul, who made a rebuke video against Judy right after, and he did this, and then a couple days later he said that the Lord had told him, nobody can come against my messengers. And he was using it as if nobody's allowed to come against him. And I'm like, listen here, dummy. The Lord was telling you not to come against His messengers. And so, you know, He was taking it as nobody could come against Him as opposed to Him going against other people.
Wow.
So when
the Lord
tells
telling
you
him
something.
Straight up, not to go against His messengers. But he just assumed it was about
Him. But it
asked
messengers. That's not singular. That's plural.
Yeah. The Lord said, no one should go against you, my precious little Paul. No, he said,
that's not
don't
what
go
he meant.
Against my messengers.
The reason I use that is because what I've learned is my walk with the Lord is if He tells me something, that's something for me. Now, I share my walk, you know, I definitely share my walk, but I don't preach. If the Lord tells me to talk about something, then I do that. But it's all about your walk. The Lord told me the sky was red. He wanted me to walk around telling everybody the sky is red. This isn't true. I'm just using it as an example. You know, the Lord tells me the sky is red. Well, the Lord tells me the sky is red. He wants me to do that for a reason. Not my reasons. Not for anybody else's reasons. It's for me. And, you know, people get a word from God and then they write a book or they make a DVD set out of it or all these things. And sometimes the Lord's just telling you something because it's for you. Now, there's other things when it comes to sharing a walk. You benefit from that stuff, and you can be relatable, and it hits your spirit. That's another thing. I just, when it comes to this stuff, it's always about that personal walk. Like Sherry had brought it up here the other day about us all. So the Lord put on her for all of us to fast for 3 days of one thing to help to stop the attacks against the bride. And then she's had visions of it since and whatnot. Now, not everybody is doing that. Not everybody is doing the fast. And the reason being is because maybe the Lord told them not to.
Maybe some can't.
Yeah, maybe some can't. Maybe some plain just didn't want to give up anything. You know, whatever. But it's that on, for me, it hit my spirit right away. And so I wanted it to be included on it because I do like serving other people. I mean, I do like making other people happy.
Right.
But, you know, your walk is your walk, and so...
Right.
Well, one thing I've noticed, and this is just for me personally, maybe other people can benefit from it, but God speaks to me separately for what's for me, and I'll ask sometimes, is this something for someone else, or is this something I need to share? I get... you know, personal words on my own that I don't share that are just from Him to me.
Sure.
And then, like this morning, I woke up and as soon as I opened my eyes, you know, He hit me with, "You're using the detachment wrong." You know, and I'm like, "Okay, Lord, you know, what do you mean?" You know, and he just started laying it on me, and I'm like, "What do you, is this about me?" And He says, "Yes, it's about you, but it's also about others." And I said, okay, is this something I text you guys first thing this morning. I was getting ready for work, you know. And he put it on my heart that the way I needed to share this with everybody, that there's a lot of us that aren't taking advantage of our courtship, you know.
I'm almost positive that you reached out to at least somebody with what you shared earlier. I mean,
I hope.
So.
Oh, sure. Of course.
Yeah,
but
think they're straight up going to hell, and then it'll reach out to them somehow because it'll get them thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Everything's
a step. Ask him what your steps are. You know, go to him. You know, guy. Mm-hmm. I don't think that that's something that was. I mean, it was prophesied over me, but I don't think that's something. I mean, maybe that's just because God knows I'm a retard. You know, so he says, I'm going to give you baby steps. You know, but I believe that's for everyone. You know, take that step in faith that he wants you to take, and then ask for the next step. I mean, he even told me, he's like, you know, he says, you're going to jump into Papa's arms. He says, yeah, when you jump into his arms, when you jump into Papa's arms and say, what's next, Papa? He's going to give you another step. And when you take that step, then he'll give you another step. And when you take that step and get it right, then you'll get another step.
Yeah. Everyone has an individual walk. You know, we have to realize that we're individualized. You know, it's precious. Yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes God, like a while ago, he told me, he's like, don't do anything. Just relax now. And it kind of freaked me out for a while. I eventually just chose to start, like, doing stuff again, you know. But he, like, told me, he's like, just relax. You know, rest in me. And I'm just like, this is weird. You know?
No, I'll sit and watch him and look at the picture, and we won't say anything, but we just look at each other in love. You don't always have to be talking. And sometimes you're talking a mile a minute. It all depends on the time or the situation or what you're about or, you know, with him. And it's just like living life with him through the day, and whatever comes up, you know, and you talk to him about it. Or you just have silence with him, just silence and love. You're still with him. He wants you to be with him, whether you're talking or thinking or praying or whatever you're doing, or being silent. Just be with
him. Like acknowledging he's next to you. Because, I mean, he's always next to us. But if you're just, like, just knowing that he's next to you and whatever you're doing, you just know he's next to you, even that, having an all-day relationship with him, you know?
Yes, that's beautiful. That's what he wants. He's in our soul. He's in our heart. He's in our mind. He's in every cell of our body. He's in our heart, and he's right next to us. I mean, waiting for you to look at him or sigh to him or talk to him or something to him, share with him, you know, that's what he wants. That's what he wants.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that he became human absolutely floors me. I can't find words to express that you are human like I am, like, and my arms are always around you, and you're going to have to pry me loose because I'm going to make sure you're okay. You became human, I'm going to make sure you're okay. Because that's tough being human, Lord. And well did he know that. But he did it for us.
Yeah. He's been really teaching me, because I used to be very, very hard on myself, you know. And, I mean, what kind of loving God would give somebody a sin nature and basically get mad every time they sin, you know? He never gets mad at anything. You can't surprise him. And so I think a lot of people, they hang on to their sin is what he's been really teaching me lately, to forget about my sin because he forgot about it too. You know?
We're learning about love here. We're learning how to love as he loves in everything. And it sounds weird what I'm going to say, but sometimes when you see the little victories that you have, you almost want to say, where's the next test? Because I want to prove to you that I love you and I'm going to win. I'm going to win this for you.
Okay.
And when the next thing comes along, it's like you're of a whole different attitude. Like, bring it on, because I'm going to show you, God, that I can do this and I can love you and I can win through, because I'm going to treat it just like you, you know. And you win again, and you like that sense of winning for him. Yeah. Let me tell you, it can turn that way. It can. You know, I had terrible challenges 2 days ago with my daughter and her boyfriend, and it's still a mess. But for me to stay calm and handle it and be gracious and kind to her, as I know Jesus would, I wanted to prove to Jesus, I can do this. I have your grace within me, your strength. I know what to do because you told me. Yes, I know from Scripture, but I know from just my relationship with you that I have to be kinder and nicer and more patient and loving and let you minister through me. And like Holy Spirit, let me speak the words that I'm time to speak, and they were kindness and gentleness and love. And I, you know, coached her that, you know, if you don't want to be with someone, there's no law in the world, in the universe, that says you got to be with this person if you see traits that are, you know, whatever, you know, boyfriend and girlfriend find out after a while, and you don't marry the person, you know. But he's a spiritual person, but he's got some hang-ups like anybody. And I told her, I had to convince her, you do not have to marry this person. And so she said, no, Mom, I can't.
Funny. Like one example of kind of like setting a goal for yourself to Jesus. Okay, a few days ago, probably like last week or so, I went to a movie with a friend of mine that I tried reaching out to him before, and he basically thought I was crazy, you know? But he came back to town, so we went and saw a movie, and during the movie I was like, the Lord was like, I knew he was wanting me to, like, talk to him, you know? And I was like, I'm going to do it, Lord. You'll see. I'm going to witness to him, Lord. You will see. I was, like, making, like, a little challenge, you know?
Yes, it is a challenge. It is a challenge. It's a challenge of love.
Yeah. No, but when you straight up tell the Lord, you're like, I'm going to witness to him. You'll see. I mean, it, like, really helps to kind
of And what happened? Tell us the end of the story. What happened?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I talked to him probably, like, 20 minutes in the car on the way home, you know? And he was really open to lots of things and everything. I got him thinking. So.
You never know. You never know.
Yeah.
I've heard story of a truck driver that went into one of the truck driver restaurants, and he was sitting across this guy who was covered in tattoos. I mean, he looked like he could just beat the blank out of you, you know. And he said, the Lord saying, no, he says, talk to him about me. And he's arguing with the Lord, like, what? I don't want to get killed, you know. He says, this guy is as tough as nails with his earrings and everything else. And he says, tell him that his mother loves him and something, some other message. And it took all his courage because he thought the guy would punch him out. And he talked to the guy, and the guy started to weep. And he says, yes, I know, that's been on my heart, to talk to her and that she's praying for me or something like that. And this is a true story. And this guy was shaking in his boots telling this guy, you know, what the Lord told him. And this guy totally turned around and went back to his mom and straightened out his whole life for the Lord. Just because this one followed.
That's why I really don't like it when people, like, look at somebody and see the way they look and just assume all these bad things, you know, because they could be, like, the nicest person in the world.
Yes, you know? Yes, exactly. You can't judge, like the saying is, you can't judge a book by its cover. There's a lot of soft loveliness. There's a beautiful story underneath that, you know.
I've met people that look squeaky clean, and they're, like, the meanest people. And then I've met people that are, like, you can't even see their normal skin, and they're, like, the nicest people.
Right. I mean, you should have seen the girls that came to the home where I worked. I mean, oh, you want to talk about, you know, judging a book by the cover? Oh my gosh, they look like a bull with the ring in the nose and 20 earrings on and old tattoos.
Think about it this way: if they have a pretty interesting cover, makes you really curious about their actual story.
Yes,
you know.
Yes, and these were just people who weren't loved enough, and they were hurting. They didn't know about God. By the time they left, they did. They knew love, they knew hope, and they knew that Jesus more than anything. That's what we got into them, you know. Determined. Yeah.
I mean, God sees our heart. You can't, you know, tattoo and pierce your heart, you know.
No. He knows. He knows.
Yeah.
And he will put someone in your way. So be ready, you know. You never know. If you say to the Holy Spirit, use me today, send somebody to me, you might get the strangest looking person in your face who needs help. And you do it. And you hug that person anyway and love them because they're his child, you know. They don't realize that they're a prince or a princess. Their father is a king. They have the dignity of that always, no matter how many tattoos and piercings and whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, my grandkids have the piercings and stuff. They have it on the tongue. I says, how can you do that? Not that I really care about what you're doing, but, you know, doesn't that bother you? No, that's okay. It's fine, you know. It's like, it sounds so painful and horrible. What do you? And then 20, you know, they've got all these earrings. I mean, they look pretty. And it's like, I look way past that. I don't care. I said, you know, if that's what you want to do for now, that's fine, you know.
Yeah.
And every time they come, it's like they get another piercing in the ear and whatever. And my daughter had one in the nose. And one side, if you wear it, it meant you were married, or the other side that you were available. I mean, it was from India, you know. But she doesn't do it anymore. But it's like they go through these stages of craziness, you know. And it's you got to love them right through it and laugh.
Yeah. I've never done the piercing. I've never done that, but I mean, I don't have a problem.
Oh, these kids are crazy. Yeah, oh, they get pierced. You name it, wherever you could put a piercing, there it is. I mean, some places are unmentionable, you know, but they do it. And it's just ridiculous.
One of the pastors that was prophesying over me the other night had a, you know, half-sleeve tattoo of, it just said Isaiah 16 going down his arm.
Yeah.
You know.
hey, what, you know?
I mean, you know,
I look at the person. I look at the person because everybody's hurting, everybody's searching. If you're made in God's likeness and image, then you want to be loved and you want to love and you want to belong, you know. And no matter what mask, I don't care how many masks you've got on, you are searching for love and acceptance and belonging.
When I was younger, I had a pastor tell me, and that actually touched me, because when I was younger, I got a tattoo that I don't like. I want it covered, but I got a tattoo, and I never really got seriously into them, but I got one just because, you know, we were all out partying and we all stopped at a tattoo shop. Let's get tattoos, yeah, you know.
Sure,
so, but I had a pastor tell me that I was going to hell now because I got a tattoo. Because the Bible says we're not supposed to mark our bodies. And I spent years thinking, well, I'm damned now because I can't get rid of it. So I'm damned to hell.
Because
hey, Chris, if you're damned, I'm damned with you.
Years worried about that, you know? And I'm like, well,
I have my ears pierced, you know. I mean,
anyway,
I'm not going to hell because of that. That's ridiculous.
Well, but some preachers preach that way.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Hey, Jesus has the best piercings and tattoo there is, okay?
Yes, right. Right.
Amen.
I had my ears pierced, and I had little crosses on them, you know. I mean, I'm allergic to everything. I don't have them pierced anymore, but I have very small earlobes, you know. And listen, I got to run. I got to call, and I'll try to get on as soon as I can, okay? Bye-bye.
All right. Later,
I'll talk to you later. I'll talk to you later, honey. Bye-bye.
My bad.
This is like, we're such a cool church. We really are.
I try.
Jason, what are you up to?
Just listening to the show.
Jason, you let me
all
go
right.
off.
We need to mute Jason. He's talking too much.
Yeah.
Chris, I know that you may have got offended by the way that I was speaking to you while you were telling your story, but I want to tell you why, and it's because of the way you started it out. And it was the God says the people in here are doing some of this wrong, and they need to change that. And the reason I got worked up about that, brother, is that people, not everybody is at your point in your life where you are in your walk. You've gone very far in your walk, and other people are not there. And so when you put stuff out there that God's unhappy that, you know, I sit around and mope or I do this or I do that, it spooks them. It scares them. And they start, it causes someone's mind to race and go, oh, no, I'm doing something wrong. Just like when you said that the pastor had told you that your tattoo is doing something big and bad and wrong, that we can easily cast those same fears and doubts into people's minds. That's enough to allow the enemy to get a foothold in their mind. So I love what you had to say. I love what you had to say. It's just we have to, and I know that you're just putting it out there with the passion that the Lord told you to. It's just when it comes to really speaking to a group of people, we all have to be really careful. We all have to, you know, do it with humility. And so that's why I was asking you the questions on, you know, as far as what did it do for you today, what did it do for that, is it's about sharing those things through your walk. Because otherwise it's just putting the, oh, God's upset that you know, really just sat around going, oh, where are you at, Lord, where are you at? And I get that. He's taken me away from that. I don't have to think of when the rapture is. You know, I don't have to worry if not whether or not I'm going. I don't have to, you know, there's all these different things that have really, that he's brought me in through that walk. But there was also a time not too long ago when way people, some people would say something about God being upset or God not liking something that I would take very personally and convict myself of. Now, that was me not having the trust in the Lord and the faith that I have, but that's a process. You know what I mean? It's a process of getting to that level. And so I love what you said, brother, and I wasn't trying to upset you. It's just that's what I was trying to get you to focus on. On your walk and, you know, where it hit you and, you know, because that's where you can really share. Because this, that blanket statement of going, oh, God doesn't like what you're doing. Well, some people are like, well, I'm reading the Bible. I'm praying to him all the time. Lord, what am I doing wrong? What am I missing? You know what I mean? And that's what I don't want to have happen.
Yeah. Well, I'm all new to this. I'm a little new to this preaching gig, so I'm just catching on. So that's a good tip. I need to work on my approach, you know. And guys, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that he's like, you know, I'm not that guy that's saying he's damning you or, you know, he's mad at you for doing this. I'm just saying he just told me that, you know, me personally, and that there were others that were just not using the time as wisely as he wanted them to use. And it doesn't mean that he's mad at you for it. It meant that he was just saying, hey, relax, basically. You know, just calm down. That's what I got from it was, calm down, relax, I'm coming for you. But in the time that you're waiting for me, take advantage of the, you know, like I said, the court, he really put it on my mind, the courtship, you know. Take advantage of the courtship. This is our time to really get to know each other, you know, for me to get to know you and you to get to know me on an intimate level, you know. And that's, you know, I guess I started it out wrong. So thank you for pulling the teeth, Jason. You're getting it out.
Well, that's what I'm here for, brother.
He pulls my teeth all the time. It's okay.
I got to pull Lugo's teeth. Sometimes Lugo pulls mine. When I start
traveling as an evangelist, that means, Jason, you've got to go with me.
Well, I know.
If we're all going down, guys. We go down together. Let's see. Jason has a tattoo. Chris has a tattoo. We're all going down.
It's really been on my heart a lot lately, Chris, and I know that it's not something you really struggle with and whatnot, but a lot of people still do. It's like, oh, you know, someone will put out a video of saying, oh, the Lord told me this. And, guys, it doesn't matter who it is. If I say it, don't believe it. Take it to the Lord. Take everything to the Lord. And, you know, if it doesn't resonate with your spirit and you're getting offended, it means it's not for you. You know, sometimes people talk out of the flesh. People share their walks. You know, they share their walks, and they say, oh, the Lord told me today we should drink 5 glasses of water. Well, have fun drinking those 5 glasses of water. You know, the Lord didn't tell me to drink 5 glasses of water, so, you know, and that's where I've been trying to really focus, because I think that I know I've done it. I know I used to, you know, I hate to use the word follow, but, you know, I'd see a lot of people, these people's videos and my friends and stuff like that, that like, oh, the Lord told me this, so we got to do this, and I don't do any of that now. I'm a free man. I walk with the Lord.
Amen.
And you know what I mean? And it's just like, you know, the insecurities and stuff that you used to have to deal with, and you always felt like you hadn't done enough. You know, you've been freed up from a lot of that stuff, and you sound stronger. You know, you're walking with your head up. You're not letting the world telling you that you're not good enough and you're this and that. You know, you're walking with Jesus. But it's your walk, Chris. It's my walk. I love what's happened to you today. That, you know, your same thing. The Lord pulled me away from the news here a while back for different reasons. You know, I see it as just it's to me it's just annoying now. It really is. It's like reading biology. But I'm glad the Lord put something on your heart. I'm glad it blessed you today, brother. I know that somebody else is going to be blessed by your walk. Blessed by, you know, and want that same peace.
Amen. I hope, I pray that, you know, the only reason I share it is because I hope that it helps someone, you know, to gain that that intimate walk, you know, that real connection with God that I really believe that he wants from all of us, you know.
It helped me. I mean, it made me just realize all the times that I actually am doing stuff with God when I don't even realize it. Like, because while you were saying it, I was thinking about all the stuff that I do with God all the time. I'm like, wow, I do God with this. I do this with God. I'm just like, oh, okay, yeah, he really is everywhere, you know? And, I mean, so, yeah, what you said, it even reached out to me even, so.
Well, good. Cool. Thank you. I'm glad, you know, anybody could benefit from it. I just know, you know, he told me, he's like, you need to put this out. You know, it was the first thing this morning. He's like, you need to get this out. You know, I'm so sorry. I'm, like I said, you know, I still struggle with, you know, all you guys that know me know, you know, some of my past, you know, and my past in the world. I struggle with, you know, being an offensive, blunt, right to, you know, just, you know, that kind of guy. You know, that's just me.
Well, Chris, keep apologizing, and we may forgive you. If you keep apologizing, maybe here in a few weeks we can forgive you.
Right. Yeah, we'll think about it.
Yeah,
thank you, Chris. Thank you for sharing, honey. Thank you.
You have to go fast for a while.
Yeah.
I need to fast. Judy made me fat.
Guys, I haven't fasted in my life.
And then I guess married me, divorced me, and had me shanked all in like 5 minutes.
Yep.
Oh,
and
left
me with a bunch of stepchildren to support.
Happens.
Yeah, I'm going to spank him with the screwdriver.
But, guys, I got to bring in a couple other people, and Pat's back with us.
Oh, yeah. Well, whatever. If I click out, it means that something else happened. I have to check an order. I sent kitchen stuff to my from an order for my
communion real quick, then, while you're here?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Go right ahead.
All right. 1 Corinthians 11:23. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Let us eat together. The cup of the new covenant is Jesus Christ's blood shed for you. Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Let us drink together. Go ahead, Pat.
Okay. Holy, holy, holy. Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Dear Savior of mankind, our most precious Jesus Christ, let us always remember all you suffered and offered to the Father to pay our debt with your precious blood and holy wounds. Jesus, dear, as you hold out your arms to us, may we also reach out to console you and let your tears fall into our hearts when the sorrows of this world press on your very heart, so human like ours, that cries as ours do. We are always here for you too, our loving Savior. Amen and amen. Alleluia, alleluia.
Amen. Thank you, Pat.
You're welcome. You bet, guys.
We got Leah here. I think maybe it might be Leah and Stacy together.
Great.
626.
We were. I tried to, we were together, and then she dropped off. She was like,
she's like, oh, no. Jason's going to make me talk.
I love her laugh.
That's
I
awesome,
thought that what Chris said was helpful because, I mean, the Lord was talking to me and I was talking to him about the different things that I've been going through, and he was just like, okay, you need to, like, you know, spend more time with me, and you need to trust me more, because he's like, you're holding on to things, and you're not giving me everything. And so, I mean, for me, that was helpful, because I'm like, okay, it's just difficult, and, I mean, he keeps giving me the same message over and over again, where whatever it is that I'm worried about and I've been struggling with for months, where it's like, you know, where it starts to feel like it's guilt for doing this or for not doing this, and then I feel bad. He's letting me know that, no, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, what you do in this situation or what you don't do in that situation. I still love you, and you still need to surrender all of those things to me and then allow him to make it better. You know, like sometimes giving something over and letting go of control of a situation will be the best thing for everybody in a situation. It will be the most freeing thing for you. And so even though it's hard, he'll still walk you through whatever that situation is. And he's been talking to me, you know, over and over about it. And probably it's one of the most difficult things that I've ever had to do. And, I mean, I appreciate the fact that he can be there with me as I, like, let go of that area in my life. Say, okay, you can have it, and I love you, and I trust you with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Sorry, guys. I have hearing a crackling in there. I was trying to find out who it was.
I thought when you guys had, like, a campfire going.
He's doing the miracle test. Stop testing God, Jason. And you always start with me.
No, you just think it's you, brother. Actually, it just stopped now. For a second, I thought it was Leah there because I said it didn't stop, but it just now stopped.
It's always
faint.
Has the miracle.
God's running
probably
away
not.
With the miracle now because you didn't think it was a miracle.
Yeah, your lack of faith ruined it, Jason.
Yeah, I know. I don't know.
It was a crackling campfire, and it was going to turn into a blazing inferno that cleansed the earth, and you stopped it.
Well, it'd be funny. I could just picture Jason being the one that walks on water, and then he's so heavy that he'll just instantly go, like, super far down after he loses faith, and then he'll just...
pop right up again.
I'm just kidding, Jason.
So we're gonna go from Jason to fat jokes immediately. That's what we're going to. that's what we've been reduced to here. Come
you
on,
you have to eat diet in heaven because you're so fat, man.
You want to talk fat? I have Jason well beat, but I'm Mama Frump. I'm a grandmother. Yeah. I can look fat and bake cookies. It's okay.
Jason, just tell him, just rebuke that tapeworm demon he's got. And then he wouldn't have to make fat jokes.
You know, Judy's in here, and there's people saying that, oh, Jason shuts down all these miracles. And it's like, yeah, I go for the real miracles, you know. And we don't need to make everything that happens into a miracle because that takes away the credibility from the real ones.
Just the fact that you're
lying. Do we think about
miracle.
That? Oh, Luke, just, no, no, no. Did you guys just hear that? Luke just talked. That's a miracle. Oh, and Chris said something. That's a miracle, too.
It is. Every breath I get comes from the Lord, boy.
Hey, there you go.
Chris, hear what Luke just said. That was a miracle.
It was.
That's what I'm getting
so
at. Let's stick
man.
To our miracles.
Man, stop limiting
our miracle,
God.
Miracle.
God. Limiting God, maybe he just...
Fumes from the doggy
you're
mask.
Putting him in a
she's
box.
Wearing it 24/7 now.
You're totally putting him in a box right now, Jason.
Totally. Oh.
Onward,
Luke,
Christian soldiers, let's march.
Do I have a joke?
Judy, are you wearing the donkey mask right now?
Oh, that's hysterical, Judy. Oh my gosh, that is hysterical.
I bet she's wearing
what a sense
it right
of
now,
humor.
I'm telling you.
What a sense of humor.
I don't know
if
how
that isn't being free in the Lord.
Thing.
I don't know what is.
She had like a donkey mask with a pillowcase on top of it. How is she alive
talking
right
at,
now?
Talking with a banana, you know? Hey,
yeah.
I want to see the red lipstick funnier. On the donkey mask.
She took one off the banana bunch. You can't do that yet.
I know you guys all digged my Jedi, you know, get up. I know you dig that.
Luke's has got to be the best because it's so creepy.
Luke Skywalker.
Like he's really, and he stays in character so well. And yeah, he's like the Sith character. He's just, he's.
Because he looks like a
it's awesome.
Shut up, Chris.
Luke,
when we get to heaven, the first thing you're doing is going on a workout regimen with me and a protein shake diet, and we're going to meet you up.
Stop
otherwise,
me
you're going to get the butt in the trip.
We're going to have one of those, like, you know those, like, dance videos that are like a workout video at the same time?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, that's what's going to go
instead
down.
Of, instead of P90X, we're going to do J90X, Jesus 90X.
Richard Simmons.
We should do, like, the Hokey Pokey, too.
That's fine. We
got to
do the Hokey.
Yeah.
And the Harvard Hummel on the Gila. Bunny dance, you know.
What
you
are
go.
We talking about? I thought this was like...
We're talking about dancing. The different dances you do at weddings. You do these at
Dude,
weddings.
I'm not
going to
ever need to work out
ridiculous dances at weddings.
Okay. I got buns of steel up there, okay?
So. You got buns of steel down here, young man.
Now I got buns of bone down here.
At least he admits it now.
Oh, we'll have to see what the glorified body looks like on some people. I definitely want to see what it looks like.
Chris has,
on me.
Chris has buns of whale blubber.
I want to bring 818 on.
I just got a beer gut now because I quit working out and I'm eating like a pig. But Judy's got me like thinking I need to like super eat.
Oh, gosh.
Hey, guys, hold on a second. I got to bring in 818.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hello.
It's me, Keith in L.A.
Hi, honey.
Hey, Keith. How are you, brother?
Good. Just listening. Good to hear everybody having fun.
Yeah. We're really cracked.
I like that Luke Skywalker thing on Luke, though. I love that outfit. Very
perfect.
Cool.
He has a lightsaber, too. You know, he wins.
I know.
It's real.
They were all about the Force. They could feel the Force. That was all about, like, good versus evil, God's energy flowing that force.
Yeah, God's energy.
A lot of people said that when they made that original, you know, movie, they knew that, and they were focusing on the force of God versus evil, and that's why it kind of resonated with so many people.
I've always thought it was the force was God.
You know?
Yeah, force was always God. Mm-hmm. I liked how it turned out with his father, that it was his real father, and that he died in peace, that he wasn't really the meanie what he was supposed to be, you know.
See, this is why Star Wars is way better than Star Trek.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that
definitely.
New Storm Vulcan is named after the Star Trek-y thing.
Yeah.
Our new
Vulcans
Winter Storm.
Vulcans are creepy. Okay, it's all about them Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy, one of the meteorologists doing the weather channel, he made the sign, you know, Prosper or whatever that thing he did is with his fingers parted because they named the new Storm Vulcan. So they were all into the Star Trek-y garbage. It was so funny, I was laughing my head off.
That is funny. Oh my gosh!
That they did that they actually did that symbol with the hand, you know, prosper and peace or whatever it is, you know. They did like the, you know, what's his name on the Star Trek, the one
the Star
with the pointed
ears. My friend, the main guy, is a friend of mine, Zach Quinto. He got that role as the main guy.
Oh wow!
Star Trek.
Oh wow!
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
His career really
took
off.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh no. Yeah. My kids all love what do they have? Like 5 or 6 movies now in Star Trek.
I thought Judy was going to show her face in the video. Didn't she say
she
was going to show her
face?
She
didn't.
That
when
was
is she going to show
her
face?
You don't understand.
Her other face. She's got multiple ones. I thought she said she was going to show
her
other human face. People think she's an alien, so you know.
I think she did Donkey Mask just to hold the Rapture up longer because she knows. And once she shows her face, we're getting raptured, and she wants to keep RCC going, so she wants to hold up the rap.
Yeah, hey.
Judy, you should buy, like, a real donkey, since you have, like, unlimited money with your credit, you know, because we're leaving anyway. You should actually buy, like, a donkey.
Rent one for
after you buy me a helicopter,
tape.
Of course.
With 2 seats, I'll be in it, but we'll be grounded because we'll never get off the ground.
That's funny. No, I was hoping we'd see her real face.
Yeah, she's supposed to show her real face.
She won't ever do that.
Oh, she's gotta.
Mm-hmm.
Love to see what she looks like. We've seen Little John.
I know all the YouTuber main
John
channels and
Chris.
I hear all that stuff.
Oh, Judy, come on, you got to show your face.
I'm our undercover agent defending her out there, right? Staying all the main YouTubers and the some of the Facebookers and most of the YouTube
goodness.
Crowd. So they're always sending stuff to me, and I'm always defending her in the channel, the radio station.
Yeah. Amen.
Well, with the YouTubers, it's kind of like there's the main channel, the main group, and then they kind of, I've been on it for 3 years, so, like, it's always the new kid on the block gets all the focus, and then, you know, I was popular a couple years ago, and then it was a couple other different channels, and then it went quiet for a long time, and then it was Judy, so she's kind of the new kid on the block after a long quiet period, so she's getting all the heat, you know, but they all kind of try to
I never start making videos, because they start coming at me like that, and I'll be knocking on doors.
To kind of travel in packs, so everybody will be, you know, I told her, like, a few weeks later, they might all be for her. You kind of switch, you know, 1 minute they're against this, then they're, oh, wait, they're back on this channel, and they're back on, you know. So I told her not to give it so much away, because most of just followers going from channel to channel, you know, it's easy to be just, oh, I'm going to join the crowd or be against that channel, but it's harder to stand up as a leader. You know, we're supposed to be leaders for Christ, not like followers, you know, just following humans anywhere they go. You know, we're supposed to stand our ground. You know, that's why you have to discern that gift, to discern the truth, you know.
Right.
So I defend her. I defend this channel and everything, you know.
Yeah. Amen.
I love it. I love her stuff, and I love this channel. So
she's so... She loves God, and she's free in the Lord, and because she has such a great relationship and great compassion, you know, anything she does is just for the Lord. I mean, maybe everyone doesn't understand it. I mean, we understand it. We're just as crazy.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, yeah, and I tell people that, too. You're not supposed to be, you know, that's her relationship with God Lucas and
the
different people. So you're not supposed to judge their walk with God.
Yeah.
You're supposed to just enjoy the truth that they talk about and let them have their own walk with the Lord. You know, that's like their thing.
Right.
You
Everyone's
know.
At a different position and different level, you know.
Exactly.
Some people are so in love with him and so at ease with him and so family with him. They can just be free in him. And what you're doing, is, if you're making people laugh or anything, I mean, look at the intention of what you're doing. You're still loving the Lord and you're still with him and walking with him, but you're on a different level. You know, that's to be, people don't understand that. People get very legalistic with stuff and that it blocks the joy and the compassion, you know, or the happiness you can have with God, you know. You know, once he knows you're totally his, then, you know, you're free in him. You're free in him to express yourself, you know. And it's family. It's like being family with him, you know. And he's got a great sense of humor.
I just find a line that God drew with me, you know, with me, with my freeness with him. You know, I was, you know, when I'd check out a girl and I'd be like, but God, look at her. She's so hot. You know, he's like,
well,
I don't want to hear that crap.
He doesn't want to hear that.
That's funny.
You say, oh, look at that nice lady. Maybe there's a potential there with her. Maybe she'll listen to me talk about you. You know, maybe that he would like.
I'd be like, you did a good job, God. You did a good job.
You did. She's a beautiful woman. But you got to keep your thoughts pure, honey. You got to keep them on the level of what God wants you to know. Like, maybe I could talk to her about you, you know. But you got to really mean it. Put on the blinders, you know. Oh, Lord. I don't know. Just pray for everybody, even the ones who are that way, you know, pray for everybody.
I honestly believe, I was talking about it last night, that a lot of what is holding things up is the fact of...
I'll be on. I'm sorry. I got to go in a second. I'll be back, babies. I'll be back.
Bye, Pat.
Bye. Bye, Pat.
Bye.
Yeah, it was just that, you know, some of what God is waiting for is for some of these stick-in-the-mud rods of Christ that need to just loosen up and realize that God is love, you know. He's not going to rebuke people for having a walk with him of any kind. He knows we're not going to walk perfect with him. We can't. Not yet.
Yep.
We will soon. You know, but here in the flesh, we have to do the best we can, and he loves that about us.
Hello?
Absolutely.
Pat back?
Yeah, I'm back. I can answer this later. That's okay. No, I have to. I have things going on, so I have to. Talk when the phone rings. But it's okay. I can take care of this later. This is more important right now. Yeah.
You guys, don't forget, Keith. Guys, Keith does a lot of stuff for the Lord. Keith does a lot for the Lord, and he does a lot of preaching, and he does have some personal health issues that do prevent him from being able to gain an income the way most of us do. So if you guys can, go to his page, click on his donate. You know, he says a lot about how, you know, just can make all the difference if everybody gives $20. So, guys, please visit Keith's page. Judy, could you do me a favor and post the link to his deal in there in the chat room? Keith, what's the name of your channel again, brother?
The Stock Trader Boy, StockTraderBoy. Just like the stock market.
Yeah, Stock Trader Boy is his YouTube channel, so you can just search Stock Trader Boy channel on YouTube and get to it if you're not already a subscriber. But Keith's a good guy, guys, and so he won't ask for it himself, but I'll ask for it for him. You know, he's a good guy. He just needs a little bit of help. A little bit of help from everybody makes his month go by without stress.
Thank you. I know. I deal with that. Enough with the health stuff.
Thank
you,
Keith. Thank you so much. Thank you for you, honey. Thanks for calling in and sharing. You know, the more family we get,
the
better
it
is. Yes, yes.
Stand on the word for health. That's the best thing to do. You know, that's all I can do.
That's okay.
Well, I got to bring 615 on here with us. Hello, 615.
Hey, guys. It's Jim.
Hey, Jim.
Jim,
hey,
I never got to talk to you yet. What's up?
Jim.
Hey. Well, I was just, God told me earlier, it's kind of interesting, that about the translation. He was saying that for every person that is translated, there's going to be around 10,000 people that go on to be raptured. So he was just kind of giving me some numbers and, you know, just working that out, that if there's really about 6,000 people that are translated, that comes out to about 60 million that would be raptured. And that kind of makes sense to me. And then as far as after that goes, he didn't give me any numbers or anything, but, you know, it was just encouraging. He was just saying that pretty much everybody is going to be saved in the tribulation. So.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Just well, that,
Jim, were you on two nights ago when I had that word about the trip?
Nope.
I actually had a word that God revealed to me that people are looking at the tribulation in the wrong light, that it is not so much, it's not about the death and destruction and the great revival that the, you know, a lot of pastors and preachers preaching that, oh, we can't have it can't be the tribulation and we can't have the rapture yet because we haven't had the great revival that it talks about, you know, that God says we're going to have a great revival before Jesus is coming. And what people don't realize was, and God, you know, this is one of those, I call it the spiritual slap in the face, you know, he smacked me and he was like, duh, stupid, the tribulation isn't about the death and destruction. The tribulation is the great revival before the coming of Christ. It has nothing to do with the rapture.
Yeah, you're right. It's going to be the great harvest. And another thing he told me about that too that was really encouraging is that for everybody that's a bride, if you don't have to worry, just stop worrying about your family, basically, if you're worried about them in the tribulation. He said everybody that's a bride, your family and all your friends are already saved. You know, he already knows that that's the prayer that's in your heart, and he's already answered that prayer.
Amen.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's absolutely right. The tribulation is going to be really amazing, and there's going to be so many people saved. I mean, it's going to be almost everybody.
Yeah,
amen.
He actually told me, he said, you know, 90% of the world will actually end up in heaven with us, that will be bursting at the seams. heaven will be overflowing with souls. That was the word I got. You know, because the most of them are going to wake up. You know, that's the wake up. That's the revival. You know, while others are going through the day, you know, the death and destruction, that's only the ones that refuse, that absolutely refuse to accept that he is God.
Right, exactly. And, yeah, it's kind of, the way he's doing it is kind of in steps. You know, he's going to start real small with the pre-rapture event, and then the rapture is going to be more people, and then the tribulation is just going to be almost everybody. So.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah. When the rest of the world sees the rapture, you better believe they're going to get their head together and say, whoa, and, you know, kind of find out, like, how do we do that too? And they're going to cry out for God. And the things that are going to happen, you know, the earth, all the trials that are going to happen on earth, it's going to bring them to their knees, you know, really quick, and they're going to cry out for God. You know, the one thing you have to just be concerned about is I don't take any mark of the beast, you know. But hopefully they have sense enough not to, and enough people will have told them, like, don't do that, or else, you know. So that's a great, I had a feeling, too, that people are just going to turn to God because they're going to be like, yo, what happened? Like, you know, something big is going on. Are you serious? So, I mean, that's going to hit them and make them, you know, convert. I hope, and pray. You know, you don't want the loss of one soul. My goodness, I always beg Jesus, like, go get him. Just go give him a visitation. Do what you have to do, you know, to have him change their mind, you know, no matter what they're going through. So that you don't want anybody in hell. You just don't want anybody in hell. That kills me. That kills me to think, you know, whatever it takes. Even a near-death experience, a trial, a tribulation, somebody preaching to them, you know, a near-death experience, just visions, dreams, visitations to God, just do it. Do it, my love, do it. Go get them. So they're all yours. So I bug him crazy. He's so sick of me, you know, fussing at him. He's going to be glad when I come up and I shut my mouth, you know. Poor Jesus. Oh, he's patient. I'm a walking example of his patience. No, it's like the yapping mouth of the wife here. She doesn't shut up. I've been around too long. I'm too long a wife, you know. He has to hear me. He does. But he loves it. He puts up with it. You know, every day I bug the life out of him. You know, just whatever you have to do. Get everybody converted. You know, just do it. But it goes with what the Bible said about the last days, about the Holy Spirit being poured out in abundance like a prairie fire or something. Somebody's got that scripture. That in the last days.
That's my username. That's Acts 2:17 now. That's about the Spirit being poured out on all flesh. And it's just going to increase, too, in the tribulation.
Yeah. It's going to increase.
We're seeing
Thank
the beginning
you.
Of it now, but it's just going to
Every day is an adventure, guys. You wake up and you don't know half the world's blown away, you know. I mean, I'm still at peace, but I hurt for the ones who are hurting, who don't have God. And look at this stupid plane crash thing. I mean, really, where is this plane? Where is this plane? Where are these people? What happened to them? Oh, I have something to tell you. My friend just sent me something. My internet went out, but before it went out, she said there was a UFO sighting right near the plane when it was whatever. I guess they got it on radar or something. I don't have the full story. But, I mean, that sounds like flaky land, you know, but that's what they saw. And there have been accounts of planes being sucked up into large ships. I mean, it sounds, again, like, you know, la-la land here, but this is a truth that is a reality. So maybe they're thinking maybe they either the thing shot it down or took it up into the hull. But this has happened. This has happened. People have seen it happen. Other pilots in the skies have seen other planes go sucked up into these crafts. So who knows what's going on? We're in the last times, and, you know, and these UFO things are the enemy of our salvation. They're demons. So maybe they're doing crazy stuff. Somebody said that earlier, that maybe, you know, it's as far-fetched and flaky as it sounds. Maybe that's what's happening.
Can you hear me, Pat?
Yes, dear.
Hey, Jim, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here, honey.
Okay, cool. Is Jim still there?
Oh, yeah, I'm still here. That's Judy.
Yeah,
hi, sweetie.
It's Judy. Thanks for calling in.
Hey.
I really like your Acts 2:17 now YouTube channel. You're posting all your words, and thank you. And, hey, can you give those numbers again? Those numbers are awesome. Can you just say them one more time, what God's showing you? Because I'm writing them down, but I didn't. I, Can you say him again?
Oh, well, the only number he really gave me was basically he said that for each person that is translated, there's going to be about 10,000 people that go on to be raptured.
Woo-hoo.
I remember you were saying before that someone got word that there would be about 6,000 people worldwide.
Yeah, actually God told that to Little John. So that was it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was spot on word. Because God told Little John that, and when this whole thing started, he told him that. At the time, me and his dad, we didn't know what he was talking about. We were like, he got real sad. Okay, this is in the very beginning when he was fasting, and he cried for 7 days straight. You guys, he was crying and weeping and mourning, and he wasn't eating or drinking. And he kept saying, the Lord's coming. Why don't people love me? Why don't people love me? And he was being Jesus. He was saying, people don't know how much I love them. Why do they hate me? And so, 7 day period, a lot of really supernatural things happened. And one of the things that happened, God told me and his dad, he goes, there's not going to be very many people raptured, okay? And we were like, he goes, he gave me the number. And we were like, we couldn't wait to hear it. And when he said 6,000, we were like, what? That we did not understand that, because we know that all the children are getting raptured, so that there's going to be more than that. And I said, well, maybe that just means in California, in our northern California. And he went, no, Mom, he told me that's who's getting, and he was, like, really adamant. And me and his dad were just looking at each other like, he's not making this up. I mean, he was so adamant. And so me and his dad, we said, well, ask him one more time. And he said, he says it's 6,000, I'm telling you. And he was crying. He goes, not many are going. Not many want him. And you guys, these early days of when the Spirit came, those early days, I don't know if you heard the Judy Smith channel in the beginning, but, you know, we didn't even say, you know, 60% of what God was telling him in those early days. It was just astounding. But can you guys still hear me okay?
Yes, honey.
Yeah.
So anyway, what happened was that he said 6,000 in that, and then his dad, he's the one that is the smartest around here because, you know, he's gone, obviously. But he looked at me and he said, don't worry, we'll understand it all. We don't understand it right now, but it'll make sense later. He was so smart to say that. He was like, we don't understand, but God knows, and we'll understand. Like, he was confident that we would get it, but we just didn't get it. But now we know after all the unveiling that it was the translation that he was referring to. It was the translation. That's the 6,000 number. So that's why when all this thing happened and it got revealed, God reminded me, remember the 6,000? And I was like, yes. So that's why I'm confident that that's the number worldwide that is being translated. So this is really cool, the numbers that God gave you, Jim. It got me really excited, like my spirit was jumping out of me, so I know that's the Lord.
Just kind of gave me that out of nowhere just a little while before I left work. And, you know, I don't know, maybe that is just adults, you know, because, I mean, there's, you know, 60 million is really, it's less than 1% of the current world population. So it's really not that many people either. But that's just what he gave me. So I don't know. I was just telling you and just letting you guys know.
It's just cool. I'm just glad you shared it. And it's just, you know, God, you guys, I try to tell you, he's not leaving us in the dark. I mean, we just don't understand this today thing. We do understand it. He said we would understand in a blink of an eye, but you know why, or did we wake up here today when he said the rapture's today? He said we'll understand it. But the only thing, for the most part, he's told us everything else. He's given us so many details. He's given us a lot of stuff, you know. And I'm just grateful for everything he does tell us. Through this body, I mean, Raina's the one that got the 300 for the Rapture Center Church.
Yeah.
And that was really cool because she sent me an inbox and I prayed over it and, you know, we all did it at the house here and felt like the Lord said, that's right, you know, that this fellowship would be going together as 300. You know, but it doesn't, you know, there's 6,000 being translated, so I bet there's other RCC churches worldwide. I'm thinking we're just like the North American branch. I mean, I could, you know, I don't know for sure, but the Lord knows, but it's just exciting to know that we've been chosen because we love him. And the funny thing is everyone's chosen, but people don't take the invitation, you know. Everyone.
Right.
Anyone can be a part of RCC. Anyone can. It's just, you know, you have to love Jesus and really want him to come back. But anyway, thanks for sharing all that.
Yes.
Jim, I'm so glad you called in. I know you're, you know,
no,
it's cool.
No
Thank
problem.
You for doing this.
Hey, Hey, did you get the email I sent today about the word that I got this morning?
Yeah, that was a really cool word. Would you want to read it? Or?
Yeah, please.
I can't right now. I'm in the car. Actually, I've got to go, but I probably will post that tonight on the channel. So it should be up.
Yeah,
did you get Ashley's email? Yeah. I have Ashley send it. Well, she has to send it to me. I can't access anything.
Well, I'm happy to read it. If no one's calling in, I can read it, you guys.
Yeah, go ahead.
Cool. I'm actually gonna head out, but I will listen. I'll listen again when I can. I'll get the podcast.
Okay, honey.
It's great
Thank
talking
you.
To you guys, and I love y'all.
Okay, we love you, baby.
Love you, Jim.
Take care, honey. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay, honey.
Is Luco still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Luco Cuco, how's it going? Should I read the words that Jim brought? Should I read it? It's really cool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, go for it.
Is anyone else calling in? Did Jason go get drunk? What's he doing?
Probably smoking a blunt.
No, he's up right here, guys. Go ahead and read the word.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and read it if no one else, if no brides are calling in. Okay, here it is.
Read it. We want to hear it. Read it, Luco.
Okay, here it goes. He said he received this word this morning, and God keeps giving him messages at work, and here it is. The small will be made big, shrimp to whales. The big will be made small, mountains to pebbles. Everyone has to learn. Some of my children will learn faster than others, but I am patient. This is one secret of my kingdom.
What the heck?
Hi, it's Lana. I'm driving, so you can meet me. Hi, y'all.
Hi, baby.
Hi, Nancy. Okay.
Go ahead, Judy.
Okay. this is one secret of my kingdom. It's one of the first things my children learn when they get to heaven. But you can learn it here on earth. You can learn that your capacities of mind and body, whether big or small, no longer have to constrain you here any more than they will constrain you in heaven. Hint, they won't constrain you in heaven. Don't be afraid to question me. Never be afraid to ask me the question why. You're right. Sometimes I'll tell you because I said so or because I am God. I do what I want. Got it? But I won't always answer like that, dear friend. Sometimes I'll even tell you what you want to hear. And don't worry, I only tell you what you want to hear if it's true. I do not lie. If you haven't figured it out yet, I want you to talk to me. I made no person to be a robot. Okay, this word is really getting me, you guys. Hold on, I'm getting... Got to put my donkey mask on to finish this. Hold on. All right, here it goes. I made no person to be a slave. Isn't this a beautiful word? I'm sorry. It just overcomes.
It is. It's beautiful.
I just love how he doesn't make us a robot. Ugh. I made no person to be a slave. You are all... See, this makes me want to cry. You are all free to work with me or against me. You are not my employee. You are my friend.
Mm.
Oh, my gosh. See, this kind of stuff makes me so fall so in love with Jesus.
Exactly.
Okay, friends work together. Not one under the other. See, we're side by side, guys. We're hand in hand. Okay, so that was me. Sorry. Okay, I'll just read the word and shut up. Friends work together, not one under the other. Let's continue to build our group of friends together. Remember, no one is excluded. We can all be friends here because that is how we will be in eternity. There are no enemies in my kingdom. Death and sin will be no more. Keep showing the world that you are my friend. Keep encouraging your brothers and sisters. You'll be out of here before you know it. Isn't that beautiful?
Right on.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, that's beautiful. It's kind of like the
D&I. Did you get hammered? Did you guys get hammered?
Oh, it's beautiful.
Now, wait a minute. If the big are going to become small and the small become big,
hey.
That means going to be buff and Jason and I are going to be midgets.
And I'm going to be thin.
Wow. Are we tall?
Right.
Dude, I'm going to be ripped.
Luca's going to have all
right.
Luca's
going
to be ripped.
Ah, to be 20 again. Oh, my goodness.
You're going to miss
with
the butt.
How you love how God doesn't make us do stuff. Like, he's so sweet. It makes me almost feel sorry for him because he's so sweet, but I know that's stupid because who would feel sorry for God, but it, like, melts my heart, like, aww. Because,
aww.
Like...
He loves that. He loves that.
Well, that's what I mean. It's like, it makes me fall in love with him. Like, I get butterflies in my stomach when I read that. Like, oh, my gosh,
yes.
He's so nice. He really, like, even when I said, God, you didn't come back yet. Should I go back to work? Because, you know, my job keeps calling me still. And I'm like, well, I'm just staying home waiting for you getting fat. And are you sure you don't want me to do something else? And he's like, you don't have to. You know, he was so sweet. He said, well, you can, but you don't have to. Because, like, he's so sweet. He really
yes, he is. That's what we have to teach people. He says, this is a sweet God. Give him a chance.
Yeah, he's so sweet. Like, I don't know how to quite describe it, but when I was reading that word again, it's like he's a person, too. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, he has feelings. Like, he's got the feelings, like, you don't want to, like, include him and stuff. He feels bad. Like, he really does. Like, I remember years ago when I had God confined to a prayer closet, like, I only talked to him when I was in my prayer closet. I mean, he told me one day, he goes, I feel so sad when you leave me out. Like, it was, like, so, like, weird. I was like, what? Like, you, wow. And so when he does stuff like that, it makes me, like, he's God and he's all-powerful, but he's super-duper sweet and loving. And you guys, we're going to, like, just freak out when he comes and gets us because we're going to find out just how human he really is. Like, he's God, like, you know what I'm saying? His emotions and stuff. He's a lover. Yeah.
He's a lover. He's a spouse. He's a best friend. He's a everything love.
Well,
I'll read.
Just know him as love.
Yeah.
Most people don't really know the personality of God because they know him as
don't.
Love. That's interesting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Can I read from He and I to you guys? This is so beautiful.
Yeah.
She says she was returning home from some social thing she went to, and now this is how sweet this is how precious God is. He says, now forget the world and look at me. I was pleased that you spoke of the prisoners. She was during World War II here. Unreal what you went through. The prisoners and their fruitful solitude and that brought them there to God. Did you notice how the conversation remained at a higher level right to the end? In this, you were my instrument. So again, often, my instrument. Be so again, often. You see, I have few instruments on the earth. Ask the Spirit to guide your mind. Don't talk out of yourself, but out of me. Speak in my place. Now, this is so beautiful. My little girl, do you know when you speak like me? When you put goodness and charm into your words. When you touch hearts. When you give a gracious answer to an acid remark. When you make excuses for someone. When you serve. When you give. When you keep an even temper in all circumstances. When you remain humble without seeking to shine. When you are grateful for the kindness of others. When you are generous. Who is more generous than I? Who more gentle and humble? All this is yours. You are part of my mystical body. I had to read that to you guys.
That's beautiful, Pat. That's wonderful.
See how you see it? See? Just what Judy was saying, just what everyone who's called in, it seems to be the theme of, you know, embracing his humanity and loving him. Even the prayer that he had me come, I didn't know anybody was going to talk about that, but it was about Jesus, you know, come into our arms and cry, let your tears fall in our heart, and let us console you as you console us. He wants that as a human being. He wants to be treated just like family, just like if you had a hurting friend and you hugged them. Hug him, too, because he's hurting for how the world's hurting him. I mean, he's feeling
it
because he's human.
That's what he was getting on me today about, you know.
This is the theme today.
Just reminding me to know that all this affects him just like it affects us.
Yes, yes. Especially
you know,
since he's human.
He's waiting just like we're waiting. And he's been waiting a lot longer than we have.
Yeah.
You know. And, you know, all the, you know, the attacks, you know, the 60 rockets flying into Israel and they're hiding everybody in bomb shelters. I got that alert and I was like, Lord, that's gotta bug you, God.
Things are starting. These days were going to come.
I get that word that he will show his power, you know, and I get reminded of that scripture. That, you know, he will come and show his power when all the nations attack Israel. So he's got to wait. And I actually felt that. I'm like, Lord, this has got to be killing you that, You have to watch this happen.
Amen, Chris. You got it.
It's not
you got
that
it.
Time yet for you to actually show your power. But, you know, I know you want to stop even that. Even the small things like the rockets. You know, you want to stop. It's not the time, but it hurts.
Yes, it does hurt him. That's why when we say to him, Jesus, come into my arms, put your head on my shoulder, and let your tears fall into my heart, you can't imagine what that means to him. You cannot imagine the joy that you give him to include him and reach out to console him instead of him always consoling us. We are capable of consoling God because he is a man, because he became man, because he became human. That blows my mind. I can't love him enough. I can't. And I know all of you out there, same thing. You just can't love him enough. You can't have him in your life enough. You can't say enough to him. You can't invite him enough. You cannot love him enough for how to become man and because of what he did on the cross. I mean, who does this? He's the only one. And he did it so we could, as he said to that sweet little boy, you could be with my dad. I mean, how sweet is that? I mean, what a beautiful God. What a sweetheart we have for a God who became man and has a heart that cries and wails and laughs and just like ours. We have to, I think it's a message for today to just pay attention to that, to how human he is and how much he wants to be treated as a human being back and how much he wants our love and our human love toward him. You know, just to show him the compassion and love and invite him.
If you guys get a chance while we're still here and we're waiting, if you get a chance, look and find out. I don't know where to get. He says he's on Facebook, so you could probably get his schedule on Facebook. It's Jason and Susan Marquez are the traveling evangelists that came through the other night, and they really move in the prophetic. Amazing. If you got every time, I was just listening to the CD of the prophecy that he had over me. The other night, and I was I instantly went into tears, you know, and I mean, it was longer than I thought. It was like a 20-minute prophecy. It felt so much quicker when he did it, but, you know, because he was giving, like, quick words to everybody, and then he calls me up, and they just, all three of them, like, they doggy piled on me and started prophesying over me, and, like, I was like, whoa, you know, him, his wife, and the pastor that brought him around, but he said they travel all over. They actually live in Florida, and they travel all over. They just travel and minister, and that's all they do. God put it on their heart. He's a recovering drug addict, or a recovered drug addict, and she's an ex-Amish girl.
What a combination!
Got married, and she says, I was freed from religion, and he was freed from drugs, and we just became traveling evangelists.
It shows you what God can do. It shows you what His grace can do. You know.
I mean, the words this guy had for people were amazing. They are prophetically touched, like you wouldn't believe. I mean, they make us look like jokes.
But that's what God has them doing. That's their walk with God, everybody. And you have your walk, and everybody on this line has their walk. Everybody in the world has the special walk with God. But some people are really zonked. But they have a work to do for God. They have a work to do to help save souls and get that message out. You know.
Well, usually everything that someone does is only because they can uniquely do it. So God had to pick them. So that's why every part is in the body of Christ, because someone may have a personality where they know about, you know, antiques, and then all of a sudden they're talking to someone about antiques, and then they convert them to Christ. So everybody's got a unique personality that only they can do the task, and if they turn it down, it's not good, because only they could do it at that time, you know.
Didn't St. Paul say something about walk the walk or talk the talk, whatever that person, it's somewhere in Scripture where, whatever the person is about, that you can reach them at that level, sort of like you can talk their talk, and that will kind of like what you're saying, you know. I'm not getting it right. He says to win the race, you know, that you can get through to these people on their level. talking their talk and walking their walk, you know, something like that in the Bible. That, you know, God will use you whatever they're going through, whatever their talents are. You can reach them with Christ by understanding, you know, walking their walk with something like that. I don't know. I'm not getting it right. I'm sorry, but I know what I'm trying to say, but I'm it's not coming out.
We know what you're saying.
He mentioned that. St. Paul, I think, was the one that mentioned that. But, you know, reaching souls like that. You can be on their level, you know. And we'll find it somewhere. But, I think it's just my thoughts maybe, but I think that we just need to look at Jesus and just open our arms to him and say, here, you come here and let me console you. And you don't have to say another word and just picture yourself holding him. Let him cry on your shoulder. You know, that's so beautiful, guys. You know, he needs that. Jesus needs that.
Amen, Pat. Amen.
He does. He needs that. He needs that from us right now because he's hurting. He's hurting. You know, he sees how his children are. That's hurting him. If he was just God on the throne up there, you know, we might be shaking in our boots still, but he's one of us. He's a man. He became one of us. He died for us, so he feels like us. So don't leave him out. You know, guys, anybody out there listening, don't leave Jesus out. He wants to be, you know, a part of your life. He wants to be the center of your life. He wants you to hold him. He wants to hold you. Hold him. Stay in his arms, face to face. As he said one time in the night, he says, if I could, I would just hold you in my arms forever. I'd never let you go, and just be looking at you. I don't want to let you go. And he's that way with all of us. He doesn't want to let us go if he could do that. In heaven, hey, we'll know the full brunt of all this love. But down here, you know, we're in the twilight zone, sort of, and walking in darkness and trusting in the dark with faith. And he loves that. And when you turn to him, he loves that. When you tell him you love him, he loves that. You can't tell him enough, Jesus, I love you. Come into my arms and let me console you. I know you're hurting, my love. Let me hold you. Just in case, say that to him. Oh, my gosh, you can't imagine how happy you make him. Because you held him human to human, you know, person to person and family to family and heart to heart, you know. And he loves that, guys. He loves that. He can't get enough of it. And neither can we. You know, so just, oh, dear God, console him. Yes, honey.
I was going to read a really cool word, Roman, in the chat room. He's in England. I think it's sometimes hard for people to call from another country. So I'm going to read something that God showed him. You know, when we were playing telephone?
Yes.
Well, when we were playing telephone, God did something. Okay, so I'm going to read it. He sent me the inbox. Okay, here it is. Okay. Okay, here it goes. Here's from Roman, the Russian, who lives in England, who's 17. He said, you know, you came to the word when you played telephone on me. God will start revealing things about me, about heaven. And straight after the show, when we played telephone that night, God said to me, I will take you early. I can't wait to hang out with you. You will fight for me in the battle. I am proud of you. Isn't that cool? And then he just now told him something. He told me something which was amazing. He said, I have armor waiting for you in heaven for the battle. And I saw it vaguely a silhouette of the armor, and it had a red cape. It was awesome. Isn't that cool, you guys? That was from Roman.
Wow.
God.
He is so wonderful.
You know,
so wonderful.
He's revealing a lot of things in the last days. My good friend Scott Payne, he always sends me inboxes. God's just giving him dream after dream after dream. Double tsunami dream, Cadillacs colliding. God keeps giving him all the disaster dreams.
That's what's
going to
wake people up. That's what's going to turn them to him.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. They will fall to their knees, crying out. Who's the first one you cry out for? You should cry out Jesus because you're so scared to death.
Judy, if Scotty's sending those to you, tell him to put them on the Rapture Centric Facebook page.
I can hardly hear you. There's so much background noise.
You 818, because I'm... Yeah.
Okay. Chris?
Yeah.
He has Morgellon disease. He's just fighting some sickness in his body, but he's trying to put that posted. But I'm just saying, you know, there's a lot of people that are fighting sickness in this fellowship. In the world, really, the world is a sick place to be. And
yeah, I know.
So, but I'm just glad he sends me the inboxes, and he is going to get them out there. I told him to bring it to the blog page and all that. But I want to tell you guys, you know, Scott Barrett. He's the one that set up our Facebook, RCC Facebook page.
Yeah.
Well, he told me that it's amazing because he said so far 15,000 people have seen different posts that have been shared by Facebook community. He was amazed at this statistic because the RCC Facebook page has only been going about 3 weeks, and it was up by 507% last week alone.
Wow.
He said,
I have 1,300 friends on Facebook, and I invited all of them to the page.
God bless you. That's great. That's great.
The word is really getting out, you guys. It's God. It's going to be amazing.
God is real on this program, and people will meet God when they meet us, and they will learn how to love God more, and they will learn the compassion and the kindness and the mercy and the forgiveness. They will learn a genuine love of God on this, on calling in or on whatever we have on the Internet, because it's genuine. It's from the heart. We are true children of God. We are trying to be. We have faults and miseries and imperfections, but we are really trying to be the love of God to everybody out there, and that's what God loves, and that's what's going to reach souls out there, and he will go poof with this. He will just spread it like wildfire because he can trust all of us because we love him genuinely. There's a genuineness here. That's what people are feeling. That's what people are getting.
Hey guys, can
that's
I,
what
can
it
I read
is.
Another, can I read
what, dear?
Screen by one of our family members?
What, dear? I'm having a hard time hearing. There's so much background noise.
Can I read another dream by one of our family members?
Yes, go right ahead.
Okay, Bill, he's in the chat room. He can't call in. He has issues with his phone, so here it is. Okay. All right, so here it is. It was a very interesting dream he had last night. For some reason, I was on a journey alone for a long time. I stayed at a Christian home with a large family and several adopted children for weeks. Finally, I had to leave. I didn't realize how the family there was really attached and was boo-hooing, you know, like they were sad. Then, as I was finished packing my single suitcase, the mother and father were very old, Asian gentle folks said, I can't go. I'm a part of their family now. And God told me, every single one of them individually, that I was now a part of their family. Wow. Boo-hoo moment.
Wow.
I've never felt that sense of belonging before, and that stayed with me all day today. Wow,
yes.
That's so cool. That's so cool, Bill.
That's really cool. It's a genuine loving of Christ and a genuine reaching out to others, no matter where or who, all over the world, that, you know, God loves you. We love you because we love God, and God first loved us, we love him, and we're trying to give him to you through us,
trying to
be his love to you. Yes, God flows to all of you through us, genuinely, genuinely.
I'm going to agree with that because, like, I was really feeling lonely. When the Spirit fell on my son, he totally detached from me, okay? Like, he was telling me all these things. Mom, he goes, let go of me. I'm fine, because he wasn't eating for 7 days, and I was freaking out, and he wasn't drinking, and Dad was like, it's okay. It's God. Don't worry. And he's like, Mom, my food is God's grace. And he was talking so, like, not like a kid. And then, you know, after God told him, he goes, Mom, I'm not going to be living at your house even, because God's, I'm going to be living with my father, God. And I was like, I'm not kidding you guys. I know it sounds funny now that I talk about it, but it wasn't. I was starting to feel like all alone, like, okay, great. You know, like, thanks a lot. Like, it's weird. I can't quite describe it. It was like, yeah, that's awesome. But in a way I was feeling like lonely and left out, you know, because he was so excited to live in God's house. And he's like, Mom, you can always come visit me. But I was, feeling really sad. It's hard for me to explain it, but, like, I really like what Bill's dream was, because since the whole Rapture family-centric family has developed, I don't feel alone anymore. I don't feel like I'm going to be bored. I don't, I'm looking forward to going and visiting my son, because God has promised him. God promised him that his reward for doing this would be to sit on his lap in eternity and live in his house forever. And he said God's house is really cool. He says a whole bunch of kids live there, and they're really happy. And he really doesn't want to live with me. He loves me. He's like, Mom, I love you. You've been a great mom on this earth for me. I mean, he's been so – Nate, listen, my son has been really sweet to tell me things, but it was still leaving an ache in my heart. I was like, oh, my gosh, but not anymore. It's totally gone, you guys, because I've even detached from my own son, who I love more than anything, you know, but it's like we both detached from each other, even though we love each other to pieces. It's like he even said, oh, yeah, Mom, and when you go work on the tribulation for those, you know, those few years you're gone, he goes, don't worry, I won't miss you. You know, and I'm like, drive the nail in the coffin, would you?
Yeah, wow. But you know, you'll be sustained in God's grace and love, and you'll just have an understanding of everything, and nothing's going to really, you know, you're not going to feel that loneliness. I mean, it'll be filled with the presence of God and what you're doing and the love of everybody else. I mean, God will see to it that you can deal with any of that, you know, and be happy and be at peace no matter what, no matter where any of us are or where
really
John is or where anybody.
You guys, like, I'm really looking forward to it now, like, more than I was. I like cannot wait to see everybody that's part of this family. I'm like so excited. Like, we're gonna be laughing about all of this. We are. We're gonna have some stories to tell.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. But it's the love on this, it's the genuine love on this station that's going to win souls and make people finally who are kind of on the fence say, maybe I will invite Jesus after all. I'm listening to all this and maybe this is a possibility. And they just take that little step and God will grab them. He's just got to hear that sigh, that little cry, that little glance, and he's coming for you. Just give him a pinch of a chance and that's all he needs. That's all he needs. He'll get you. You know, and we're trying to help them get everybody and uplift each other because, you know, we're all going through stuff. We have been through stuff. We're still continuing with stuff, and God's our strength and our love, you know, and we impart that to each other, that strength and this genuine, sincere love. You know, there's no games played here. There's no competition. There's no this or that. It's just genuinely we love God. God loves you, and we want to make you realize that through us. And that's what it's all about. Genuine love, genuine family. You know, you're all my family.
Yes, we are, Pat. Yes, we are.
You know, we just, there's a lot of love here. And I want everybody out there to realize that you can call in and there's no condemnation, there's no judgment, there's nothing, there's no correction. There's just listening to you and trying to help you be closer to God. And whatever you share, it uplifts us because we've all been through, as I say, we've been through stuff. So you're sharing with us, you know, enriches us and helps us to understand maybe our walk a little better when it was a bit tough. And then we can say, yeah, you know, like Stacy. I mean, Stacy blew me away. Stacy blew me away. And I can't thank her enough for having the guts to share, you know, because I could say, yeah, girl, I know. And so, you know, others out there, call in and share. You don't need your name. Just, you know, we're all in this together, and we've had our own hell on earth, all of us. So we just sustain each other and uplift each other and encourage each other, and you feel less alone when somebody shares. You know, like when Stacy shared, it was like, right on. Like, whoa, do I know how you feel. Like, boy, I don't feel so much alone. I don't feel like I'm so odd or strange because that happened to somebody else. So that's what happens when you share, you know. Can't stress that enough. But anyway, you know, follow the Holy Spirit. Ask him. Yeah.
Jason.
Yeah.
You know, in this last hour, God is revealing to people a lot of details. And, have you gotten any details? I've had people tell me that God's already shown them their children. I've had people tell me God's shown them who their spouse is going to be.
Wow.
I just think it's cool stuff. I'm just curious. I know Jason and Ashley, they get to stay married, which is cool. Has God showed you? Oh, yeah, Jason, can you share with your house what God's shown you guys about your house a little bit?
Wow.
Well, it's basically all I got to see was like a pool area. And that's where I saw Ashley, and I got to see a stairwell that's basically like a Tuscany-style home.
Beautiful. Oh, wow. I just want to be with Jesus. I don't want a husband up there. I'm terrible.
No, you're not.
Micah.
No, you're not, Pat. It's not for everybody. It's like God has something for everybody. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And
I'm kidding. I'm just
laughing. If you get there... and you change your mind, you can have it. You know, it's just like heaven.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, dear, I don't know. I just want him. Oh, goodness me. It's been a long time.
It was kind of interesting, though, when he showed me the house that it was basically, I was seeing, like, the back side of it, or it seemed like the front, I don't know. But it was in the midst of a whole bunch of rolling hills, but it wasn't very vivid.
Wow.
But the water in the pool was like that, you know, tropical water, you know, where it's super bright and whatnot, you know, reflecting all the light. But I know that he didn't show it to me at all. You know, he didn't get really, because like the grass just looked like grass. It wasn't like what I've seen people talk about the grass in heaven looked like. And so, you know, it was a toned down version of it, but it was still very, very cool to see.
You know, you're going to have a pool party with a bunch of us. You know that, don't you?
Well, I hope so. I can't wait to have everybody over. I love you guys.
You won't get out of that. I mean, we're going to be there and splashing around and, you know.
Amen.
We'll bring the stuff for the barbecue and whatever, and you and Ashley can just make up some drinks for everybody.
Luke and I will
wash away.
Judy, didn't you show you your
that
home?
One. Huh? No.
No,
I'm not a Luigi on the beach. Oh, Judy. Judy's got to be fabulous.
What did you say?
Did you know what your home looks like up there?
Yeah, God told me one day. I was sitting on my patio with the cats. We bring our cats outside on leashes. And he told me, he said, your house will be made of glass because you've lived your life transparent. And because you've been transparent, you're going to have a glass house where everyone can see in. And he said, yeah, so he just told me that. I thought that was cool. So, you know, even then, Jason thinks he's going to throw a bunch of dirty diapers in my mansion, but my house is made of glass, so everyone's going to see what you're doing, Jason, and they're going to know who you really are. So.
I don't know what made you think that I was trying to hide that it was me.
You're fully exposed.
Gosh.
You've been wanting to get exposed. Well, you'll be fully exposed in heaven.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Dude, everybody would be weirded out if my house was see-through. They'd be like, what in the world is he doing?
Okay, sleep over at Luco's house because Luco has the pipe, and we're going to be having fun over there.
Oh, I bet. No, I'm still having I have my lean-to on the beach. I told him I don't need anything else. I'll just stay with the beach and the lean-to.
We're going to hotbox. We're going to hotbox my house with spiritual crack. Just gonna, but you're gonna open the front door, and it's gonna be just like, you know.
Me and Luca are gonna streak through the pool party at Jason's.
Yeah,
no.
Oh yeah.
We're like, I'm gonna run over on top of the table.
I'll come with towels. Big ones, big bath towels.
You know, Rome's giving me a hard time because we take our cats on leash walks, but you know, we love our cats,
sure.
Man.
They'll be there.
It's the latest thing. Hey, Roman, go on YouTube and click on walking your cat on a leash because that's how I learned to do it with my cats. And my cats love it, okay?
Yeah, They do. We have 5 of them.
Like, in our neighborhood, they're going to get run over by a car or the SPCA is going to pick them up and then you have to pay all this money to get your cat out. It happened to my friend. She got her cat microchipped and then her cat's an outdoor cat. And the SPCA picked him up, and then she had to go pay $150 to get him out. And she's like, what? He has a microchip. He's mine. And they're like, well, he was running out loose. And it's like, well, isn't it a free world? Your cat can't have it. So now that's what they're doing.
They have to be licensed.
Yeah. Well, even if they are licensed, when they microchip your pet, like, they charge you to get him out. And this one student of mine, when I was still teaching his girlfriend, her cat got out, and then they took him, and then they wouldn't give her cat back because she didn't have the $100 to get him out, and so they gassed her cat.
Oh,
I was so upset.
How horrible.
She was really mad. She's like, I'm only like 17, I don't have a job, and my cat is microchipped, and they gassed her cat. They said, well, you have a week to come get her, and then every day she didn't pay, the money went up that it would cost to get her cat out. I know, isn't that crazy?
That's horrible.
Oh, and by the way, since we're talking about animals in the SPCA, God told Little John that every animal in the pound and in the SPCA is going to be taken in the worldwide rapture, you guys.
I was really excited.
Yeah, really happy to hear that, because that breaks my heart, like a bunch of unwanted pets. It just kills me.
There is a part of heaven, because it was from a near-death experience, and where it's all animals, and you have animal keepers. I said, I'll probably be there a bit, you know, where all the animals are in one part of heaven, and there's keepers to take care of them and everything. Horses, everything, you name it, it's up there. So, I mean, there's one section of heaven that they saw was all for the animals. Of course, you can have your pets with you. Jesus will never be able to get close to us. We have all these pets around us. I never envisioned of that. It's so funny, you know, because from all the ones from all the years. I said, no, Lord, you'll be scurrying through the cats and gently pushing them aside to give a hug to somebody up there, you know, because they won't want to be separated from their pets. It was so funny. But there is a section in heaven, apparently, for all the animals, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think
that's
hey guys, I love you guys. We'll see you guys
okay.
all in the morning.
We'll see you tomorrow. Okay.
9 a.m. Central Standard Time. Love you guys.
Right.